out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with former NFL wide receiver and Auburn University standout, Jairus McIntyre. Are you ready to hear it live from the athletes, celebrities, and fans? Jairus, his co-hosts, and his guests will keep you laughing, thinking, and talking. Now, here's your host, Jairus McIntyre.
What's up, listeners? I'm back on Keeping It Real. I'm your host, Jairus McIntyre. I'm down here in lovely Tampa, Florida. Great weather, man. College football season started this past weekend. Well, actually Thursday, but all the games in action this past Saturday. A lot of great games. Obviously, I want to start off with the tough defeat that the Clemson Tigers put on the Auburn Tigers. I know a lot of Auburn listeners here listen to Keeping It Real, and Difficult loss. Very young football team still, but that's no excuse. Got to make plays. Got to do what we have to do to be victorious. And we came out short against a highly powered Clemson football team. I got my co-host Ron Mack on the line, and I know he watched it and saw some of the things that we had talked about on previous Keeping It Real episodes that we thought, myself as well, that we thought would be some of the problems for our team this year. But with that being said, I believe that we've gotten a lot better from last year, you know, and we won 8-9 games last year. But I truly believe that we've gotten better from what I saw from just the quarterback play and that could have been a lot better. But I mean, he's grown tremendously, and I see way more potential in him than we had with, you know, a Barrett Trotter or a Clint Mosley trying to play last year. The defensive line looks like they've grown a little bit, gotten bigger, gotten faster. Obviously, they wore down a little bit. Linebackers are still a weakness. Linebackers are definitely still a weakness. But we got help on the way with Reuben Foster and some of the other recruits that we have coming in, along with the guys that we have now just growing up. Ron Mack, give me your assessment on the game, man. You know, it was a close one. It was a close one in a hostile environment in the Georgia Dome. You know, we both had a lot of fans.
I wouldn't call the Georgia Dome hostile environment. I think maybe 60-40. So it was kind of like a home game.
No, but I'm saying hostile for both teams because, I mean, the radius between both locations is about the same. I mean, we're a little closer to Atlanta than Clemson, but I'm just saying for a young football team, going both ways. I mean, when you got the ball on offense, it's going to be hostile for the team who has it on offense because, you know, the crowd is going to be, you know, and I ain't necessarily say against you, but like you said, it is half and half. So it is a hostile environment for freshmen that have never played in a college game, like both of our tackles. And it's in a hostile environment for kids who haven't had a taste like a Kyle Frazier playing a whole game, or Greg Robinson at left tackle, had never really playing, you know, starting in a game, or Avery Young, the right tackle, have never started a game. That is in hostile, or Trey Mason, a sophomore back who started and played the whole game. That is a hostile environment for them, those kind of players, or center, a backup center who has never played. That's definitely hostile for them, even though it is not. Even though it was similar to a home game, you still, you know, it was still half and half in the Georgia Dome. That's kind of what I meant. But what were your assessments on what you saw? What did you think? You know, what did you think of the game?
I thought I was going to hate the offensive coordinator, and I didn't. I think he did a decent job. I think he got to step it up with the play calling in the red zone, because that seemed to be a problem. I like the kickers. I like both the kicker and the punter. I think they did a wonderful job. Cal Frazier, to me, he didn't look like he had any confidence, man. It just looked and just really being honest, I kind of hate that thing that happened with Zeke Pike, because I think for Kyle Frazier, it's probably a good thing that Zeke Pike's not there, because the fans would probably be clamoring for him right now. But I like Mason at tailback a whole lot more than I like McCaleb. Emory Blake, he's gonna do what he does, but you know, there has been no one step up on the other side. I was impressed with the true freshman Avery Young. I think Greg Robinson struggled, but I was impressed with the backup center. I think Slade missed a lot of blocks, so they're gonna have to find a replacement for him. Defensively, the defensive ends got some pressure, but our defensive tackles were non-existent. The linebackers were awful. The safeties were awful, and the cornerbacks were awful. There has to be more talent. The kid, 24, I just saw him fall at the quarterback feet, man. They got to play Enrique Florence. They got to play Therese. They got to play Chris Frost. Even if they can't get the system, you dumb it down for them. Give them, a few, responsibilities that they can remember, and just let the athleticism take over, man, because those guys who supposedly know the system, you got like a 2-year starter, Demetrius McNeil. He didn't really touch the field, but Ryan Smith, he was out there, diving at the quarterback ankles, man.
Don't you think that has to do with, with Ben Gordon coming in, he's going to put the guys he feels comfortable with and letting them roll. I mean, I know you coach basketball up there in high school. I mean, if you're going to go with the guy you feel comfortable with, I mean,
I understand that, but if I got a guy who's ultra talented that can't seem to understand what I need him to do, I have to, as a coach, I have to put him in a position where he can play. I instead of having all these complex things going on, hell, I got an idea. Put Chris Foss in the middle. Put him at middle linebacker instead of Jake Holland, who overrunning plays, or Jake Holland, who don't tackle, or Jake Holland, who too slow to get to the ball. You put him in the middle, and when you do that, you'll instantly upgrade the athleticism at that position.
Well, I understand that, Ron, man, but at the same time, it's a reason Chris Frost is not out there. It's a reason Enrique Florence is not out there. I mean, yeah, it could be them picking up the system, but at the same time, I mean, if they put like this, if they could play and they were going to help the defense that much more, then they would be out there on the field. So I don't really, and at times, we like to look back and say, this guy, why is he in? And with the amount of practice that they had and the amount of things they've done throughout 2-a-days and throughout camp, they probably know, like, hey, we can't put Chris Frost in here. He don't like contact, or he don't know how to line up the defense, or he's going to be completely out of the wrong gap, and we're going to get gashed worse than we were. Because
and we got cash anyway. What I'm saying, J-Mac, is, okay, he going to go in the wrong gap. We're going to get gashed anyway. We're going to get gashed. Hell, Ellington ran for like 230, 223.
Ellington ran for 230, and 70 of that was on a bad play, which Michael Dino, which we've seen help us win national championships with the guy we think is down and wasn't down, which he made the proper read. He made, he took the proper angle. He just didn't make the tackle. and he thought he made the tackle, and that's on him. And I'm not saying that our linebackers are the best. I'm not saying our linebackers are the best. But at the same time, it was a close game. I mean, we were in the game.
It was a close game. But Clemson really is not. Clemson's not that good.
Clemson won the Atlantic Coast Conference last year. And yes, they got blown out in the bowl game, but they won their conference. Clemson has an SEC, talent-rich team. Clemson could play in the SEC. And that's the thing that people are understanding. Yeah, Auburn, you got a lot of young players. Linebackers aren't that good. But for that to be the first game for a lot of kids out there playing against a ranked Clemson team who has an all-ACC quarterback, who has Andre Ellington, an all-ACC running back, obviously with Sammy Watkins, but the other kid is going to be an NFL draft pick as well. So they have players. And we got to get tremendously better. But Clemson was a top 15 ranked team, and we took them down to the wire. And yeah, we have some bonehead plays with Trevon Reed out of the back of the end zone, a young bonehead play. But at the end of the day, if you look at it, we're right there in the game. Defensively, we can get better. We can make tackles. We can get more physical at the point of attack with our linebackers. We could probably say, hey, put Enrique Florence in for Smith or put this kid in for this kid. But I think they're not in for a reason. I mean, the stars look good. Enrique Florence is athletic, but there's a reason why those kids are in there. Now, if we see this consistently week in and week out over and over again, then they got to do something. But that was the first game, and I think we can get better. With Kyle Frazier, the quarterback, I like – he could have done a lot better. But for that to be his first start, I mean, think about how Barrett Trotter looked last year.
And that's why I'm not being super hard on Frazier. I think he did a decent job. Even the offensive coordinating, I think was decent. He called some good play. I don't think he passed the ball on first down enough. I think he got into that too predictable mode, but with that multiple kind of offense that the Auburn fan base wanted to get back down on the plains with a fullback and a tailback in the eye, that's what you're going to get. Auburn football is changing. We're not going to, be that high-powered scoring offense. The two coordinators that I wanted to see at Auburn, one scored 84 points, the other one scored in the 50s. But they're still with their respective teams.
84 points against Savannah State.
That's like playing
Tampa Catholic High School, Oklahoma State versus Tampa Catholic High School.
Oklahoma State gonna put up points
Oklahoma
every
State
week. Just like Baylor. Baylor lost RG3. They lost a running back in the draft and a wide receiver in the draft, and they still scored 50 points.
Who did they play? They played SMU, a conference USA school.
This
is what I'm telling you. And go back through Clemson's recruiting classes. They just got a commitment from the number one, well, a couple months ago, from the number one player in the country. Clemson has players. So we played an SEC game.
Team you'll play on your schedule this year.
Okay, so we play the Clemson Tigers. They're not better than Alabama. They're not better than LSU, Alabama, or Georgia. But they are the fourth best team we'll play this year, ranked
pretty
number
much, because you got, like I said, Clemson, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, all of them fall in the same category.
Okay, so Ron Mack, what I'm saying to you is this. We have Kyle Frazier, who started his first game, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And in just a year, because last year, to me, he looked flat out horrible. In a year, I mean, he came out and played respectable. I mean, it wasn't great.
But he played decent ball.
And that's what I'm saying. For his very first game to come out and play like that. And, yeah, we're talking about points on the board, but I saw a lot of big plays. From Emory Blake to Letson Kirkin to the way, that our new fullback from Illinois was blocking to the way Trey Mason ran the ball. I mean, it's a bright, bright future because all these guys are going to get better as time. And when the
how much more time does when you think about it, and if you think objectively, okay, we 2 years ago we won that championship with Cam Newton, right?
Okay, and then we have Bear Trotter as a quarterback the next year, last year we went eight and five, but we didn't go eight and five.
We went 8-5, and we got blown out by the same Clemson team, who we just lost to, and everybody else who beat us. We got blown out, right?
Okay.
So now, and you put Coach Chizik. This is his like fourth year, and he's been putting good recruiting classes together. So, how much more time do you think that the Auburn faithful are gonna give Coach Chizik to me? Like I said early in the year, I feel like we would lose four or five games. Well, before on Keeping It Real a few weeks ago, we went to talking about, you know, wins and losses, and I said losses, LSU, Alabama, Georgia, wins, you know, the cupcakes on our schedule, and then we got the toss up. We had the toss up category, which Clemson, Mississippi State, and all those. We are on the verge of starting 0-2. If we lose Mississippi State, we're 0-2.
I understand that, Ron, man, but at the same time, you're not looking at it. You're looking at it right now, and I understand it is a right now. What have you done for me lately?
It's about what are you doing for me right now?
You're starting. We're starting, and like we said the same stuff last year. We are starting. And then, like I said last year, again, before, when they were all freshmen, I said when they're juniors, we're going to be national title contenders when all of them are juniors. So what I'm telling you is this: by midseason, you're going to start seeing all the guys grow up. Week four, week five, because for me, honestly, all these players have gotten way better since last year, from Trey Mason to Kyle Frazier. I mean, Greg Robinson is a left tackle, redshirt freshman. Imagine when this kid is a junior. He's going to be an All-American. Avery Young is a true freshman at right tackle. And you say, you know, you wasn't impressed with Greg Robinson, but he didn't really give up too many sacks. That was Kyle Frazier holding the ball. The O-line looks like night and day from last year to me. So what I'm saying, and the D line has gotten bigger and stronger. Yeah, we're hurting a linebacker, but we played a great Clemson team. I mean, look at Clemson's numbers last year. Clemson is not a duck. I mean, put it like this: I would say Clemson offensively is better than Georgia. So we're talking about teams and this and this and that, but this is probably the third, with the session of Alabama and LSU, this is probably going to be the best offense we face all year. So for us to, we gave up 23 points or 25 points, whatever it was, and we didn't win. For us to come out first game with a lot of new players playing, you know, new safeties, corners getting broken in and all that, to come out and be able to play a respectable game against a top 15 team, the very first game, and probably the best, second or third best offense we'll see all year, to me, that gives me hope through the season. I mean, yeah, Texas A&M, we play, they're going to have a decent team. Mississippi State's always going to come to fight. Ole Miss is always going to come to fight. Got the homecoming game. We got, you know, Louisiana Monroe. We got, you know, other games on the schedule. So
we got Vanderbilt who fought like hell against the number 9
Vanderbilt. Why are we not saying South Carolina? South Carolina is like 16th in the country.
They were number nine. They should fall. I think they should fall somewhere close to 17.
Okay, but to me, looking at talent and team, I think we're just as good as South Carolina. Yeah, they got Lattimore, but I mean, I look at Auburn and South Carolina. They're ranked high because, they won a lot of games last year. But you look at, from Connor Shaw, their quarterback, they got Lattimore. But if you look down the line at their team, they're just like Auburn to me. I look at them like, so when we're talking about, good teams and bad teams, we played a good Clemson team this week. I think midseason will show how good or bad we really are. Just like last year. Well, once we hit about week five or week six, we knew that when we play the heavies of the heavyweights of the SEC, it's going to be tough. And yeah, last year we went into South Carolina and won. And we beat the Florida Gators, who were struggling. But at the same time, I mean, look at Florida. They put on a squeaker against Bowling Green. So it's tough. And they're a top 25 team. So it's tough to say. I say we're like Florida.
Florida's really bad. They should not be ranked.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. So I'm just looking at it from that perspective, from looking at Florida. You know, Tennessee looked good, but they played NC State. If we played NC State, would we have done the same thing that Tennessee did? Yeah, probably. If we would have played Bowling Green, would we have won? Yeah, probably. We would have been sitting 1-0 just like them. I mean, if we would have played Vanderbilt, it would have been a tough game, but we probably would have won. So, you know, I think people are sometimes are overreacting because we, you know, lost our first game. And in a game we could have very, very easily won against a highly ranked Clemson team with a great quarterback. So, you know, but a lot of stuff has to be fixed. And I think the main thing is definitely that linebacker play. I mean, we got to get that linebacker play because from seeing the Crimson Tide, they look very, very tough. I think it's going to be, you know, collision course to the winner of the Pac-10, probably playing Alabama in the national championship. I'm calling my national championship early. Auburn fans, you can get mad if you want. I'm thinking it's going to be Alabama versus Southern Cal or Oregon.
That's what it looked like. I don't know though, because I'm gonna tell you who I was impressed with. I was impressed with West Virginia. West Virginia offensively, man, they're something to admire.
They're gonna fluke out. Something's gonna happen. They're gonna lose to USF or Syracuse or somebody crazy.
Well, they in the Big 12 now, man. They got Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have a high-powered offense, Heisman candidate, the quarterback, but something's going to happen this year to when they lose the game. When they lose that game, then everybody's going to say, oh, West Virginia's not for real, they're out of it. So I truly believe that they're going to put up crazy numbers, and Geno Smith may be a Heisman finalist, but at the end of the day, they're going to lose one to get them, you know, not out of the conversation. But I would never sleep on their talent because they got a lot of Florida boys with speed and a hell of a quarterback who I think is going to be a high NFL draft pick as well as a Heisman Trophy candidate. Well, Matt, what's up, man? T-Jack out of Seattle. I was telling you that I thought Russell Wilson would be the start. I told you. I want to say the last time we'll keep it real. I told you that Russell Wilson. Did I say that?
You said that.
Okay.
But I'm gonna tell you what's the monstrosity in this thing? What people are overlooking. People are overlooking the fact that Seattle has paid Matt Flynn like $26 million, and he couldn't beat out Russell Wilson, who's 5'10.5", you know, and a rookie. So, trade T-Jack to a better place, in my opinion, for him, because I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick going to make it a whole year. Something will happen. He'll be banged up, get a concussion, get hurt, and T-Jack will be on the field. But they just paid. They did the Kevin Cobb. They had that Kevin Cobb syndrome. You paid a backup all this money, and now you ain't finna get nothing from him. When T-Jack took you to the playoffs, threw for 3,000 yards, 14 touchdowns, 13 interceptions.
That's true. While we on the NFL topic,
and I'm down here
in lovely Tampa, Florida, what do you think the Bucs are going to do this year, man? Because we talk about the Bucs here from time to time. We're keeping it real. And I don't know what you think the Bucs are going to do. I know Davin Joseph went down.
That'd be an average team, man. That win five games, you know.
Five?
Yeah, they win about five games.
Eight is average, right? Five is
below average. I'm sorry, because I think Cam Newton is going to get the Panthers to 8-8. I think the Panthers will go 8-8 in that division. I think the Falcons will probably go 9-7 in that division. I think without Sean Payton, I say the Saints will go 10-6 in that division. So I think the Saints make the playoffs and the Falcons make the playoffs. I think Cam comes up one game short of the playoffs. So which means the Bucks, I don't see the Bucks will probably beat Cam one time, and I don't think they'll beat the Falcons or New Orleans.
All right. I mean, you ain't get my Bucks no love. I mean, you got to. I'm looking at Josh Freeman. You know, lost the weight, ready for the season.
Okay,
ready. You know, I mean, we got the running back out of Boise, LeGarrette Blount, Vincent Jackson. I mean, Mike Williams on the other side. Free agency. You know, I know Davin Joseph went down, but we still have a very capable line. I mean,
yeah, your defense still kind of sucked, though.
I mean the defense, but I mean we move Rondé to safety.
Right, you know, yeah, but corner. Rondé probably should, you know, you probably should have did what Pittsburgh did with Hines Ward to Rondé. You know, Rondé, we don't want to cut you now. We don't want to cut you. So go ahead, you know, and do us a favor and go and retire as a Buck since you've been faithful to the organization.
I hear that. But Rondé can still make plays now.
Rondé
is a smart football player. So if he's in the area of the ball, he's going to make the play. And okay. I think he still has some wheels where he can make plays on the ball. I mean, corner is a different story out there on that island. They might run right by him. But moving him to safety, I think with him being able to see the game and him being able to know the game and being such a smart football player, I mean, that's going to give him another 2-3 years in the NFL. And, you know, got, you know, young corners and a key with Wright over there. I mean, we got some lockdown corners. They can stay on the field and stay.
Yeah, then you all drafted the safety from Alabama. So
then we got Mark Barron, hard-hitting headhunter to go along with Rondé and his smarts. And then we got a very young defensive line who if they can live up to the billing, will be able to wreak havoc and be able to put some pressure on Cam and Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. So
I mean,
I think Shiano has come in with the attitude of, you know, a disciplinarian and they're listening to him. I mean,
the Bucks are the worst team in the division.
Yeah, so you're thinking they're going to be the worst team in the division still.
Yeah, they are. I mean, that's just my opinion. I think if Cam can come in and win 6 games, and then the Panthers went and spent their whole draft drafting defensive players, I really wish they would field a call to Plexico Burress. Because if you can get Cam Newton, you know, Plex on one side, Steve Smith on the other side, with the tight ends that they have, with the running back that they have, I think that would help Cam get to that next level. But, you know, with those prima donna wide receivers, it's always something. You know what I'm saying?
I honestly believe that Cam will get to the next level this year. I mean, he's going to make the Pro Bowl again. I truly believe that he's going to.
When you're talking about a quarterback, though, you have to talk that next level for a quarterback. It's not an individual thing. It's a team thing. He has to get his team to the next level.
I can see them sliding to the wild card. I can see Cam with the defense if everybody plays the way they're supposed to. And, you know, Luke Kuechly from Boston College comes in and does the thing that he's supposed to with Beeson and Thomas Davis and that defense they have over there. I really think that Cam could probably slide into that wild card conversation at 9-7 because he's just that great of a player, man. I mean, with him and Steve Smith and the running duo that they have back there with D'Angelo and Stewart, I think that he can make a claim to probably try to slide in that playoff, you know, in that playoff hole. We will see. I mean, he's going to have to get better, you know, and cut down on the turnovers. But I see him, you know, moving himself into that top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, top 8 quarterbacks in the NFL, if he can cut down the turnovers and, you know, be a little more efficient with the football. I really, really believe that Carolina can probably make a push to the playoffs. I mean, that's if the Bucks don't take that next step. Because from looking at the personnel in Tampa, I think that they could take that next step. I think that they can, you know, get back to where they were the year before this past year with the, you know, that with you know, Josh Freeman coming in and making a splash. I think if he gets better with the football, like I said, the same way with Cam, they could, you know, double their wins from a year ago just this year because with that talent that they have and Vincent Jackson coming in with Mike Williams getting him back to where he played his rookie year. You know, it's going to be interesting in the NFC South. I really, really think with all those teams, with Atlanta and Julio, you know, stepping up the way he did this preseason, and New Orleans with all the crazy things they had this offseason, still with the talent that they have, and Tampa going out in free agency, and now Cam in the division and being an established superstar, it's going to be a very interesting division race this year, I think. I mean, only time will tell, but that's you know, four capable, you know, with the talent that they have, four teams capable of making the playoffs. So, like I said, we'll see. We will definitely see. Ron Mack, man, Alabama against Michigan. I mean, they made Denard Robinson look like a scrum.
One thing about Alabama, you know, I kind of hate Alabama. I don't like them. But one thing about Nick Saban, when you give Nick Saban time to prepare for a team, like all off season and all of that, they look like it. When you give him 30 days or 40 days to prepare for LSU, it looks like it. It looks like they're prepared. And they look prepared. They lose people to the draft. They lose kids to attrition. And when he put 11 out there on defense, it don't matter what their name are. They look good. Offensively, I think they are a much different team than they were last year, because last year they didn't trust A.J. McCarron. I think this year they have some wide receiver threats and, you know, T.J. Yeldon running that thing, and the other boy from Mobile, Jalston, whatever the dude name is. They running the ball, they play action, and they playing, you know, smash mouth Alabama football, you know, and their defense is at a championship level. They got eight linebackers better than any one that we have at Auburn. They got eight. And you can tell because nobody runs the ball against them. You know, I mean, I hate Alabama. I hate Nick Saban. But you ain't got no choice but to respect them, man. They vaulted to number one in the polls today. You know, USC started out number one. The country watched Alabama against Michigan. And like you said, I think it's a collision course between Alabama and USC or Alabama and Oregon. And my outsider pick, is West Virginia, because I think in that new conference, their defense fits in with everybody else's, and they're just as explosive on offense as everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be a collision course. I'd rather see Southern Cal get in there than Oregon, because I think that Saban, like you said, with time to prepare, I see them maybe being a competitive game in the first half, but Alabama, I think, will probably eat Oregon alive, honestly. I think Southern Cal has a better chance because they're more of a pro-style offense, and I just think they're more talented, Southern Cal, than Oregon, a little more talented. So I would rather see Alabama versus Southern Cal, but who knows, man? Who knows? So, you know, we got a long, long season to play. And you know, anybody can lose any game. But the way from watching Southern Cal and seeing Matt Barkley with all his receivers and all the running backs and that talented defense they have with Kiffin, you know, mastermind of the defense, just like Saban, that would definitely be a game I would love to see for the national title if it comes down to it. I mean, Oregon, Oregon was there against us, and yes, they're probably a more improved team now. I hear the quarterback that they have is supposed to be one of the best that they've had in the Chip Kelly era, and we'll see. I mean, they played Arkansas State, which is Arkansas State, but I've seen Southern Cal against Hawaii, watched some of that game, and the speed and the size of their players is can compare to Alabama, but I just think Alabama's defense is just dominant. Looking at the linebackers, the DBs, I mean, all of them are big, all of them are going to play in the NFL, and it's going to be tough, very, very tough. I mean, yeah, AJ McCarron is now a vet. He's a junior. He's won a national title. Feel more comfortable throwing the football. The offensive line is just ridiculous. And running back wise, we, you know, with Fowler, you know, and Yeldon and little DeHart back there. I mean, they got a stable of running backs who can run the football to go along with some receivers and a hell of an offensive line. I mean, if they lose,
they have the total
schedule.
Package.
It's favorable, very, very favorable schedule.
They have the total package. They have it all. Coaching, players, lines, in the trenches, secondary players. They got it all.
They definitely do. And I, being an Auburn, former Auburn player, Auburn fan, love Auburn. But looking at that team, they're definitely loaded, and they're an all-around football team. But like I said, give me, wait one more year. Wait one more year, and the All Tigers going to be back to where they're supposed to be. I'm just telling you, I mean, I'm not even giving up on this year yet either, because they're going to get better.
And like I said, that sounds good coming from you, a former player, you know, someone who, you know, still is around the program to kind of, you know, give Coach Chizik that blessing. But think about it, man. Let's say Auburn goes 7-5. If Auburn goes 7-5, 6-6 this year, they will crank up the Fire Gene Chizik website.
Negative. Gene Chizik bought a ring to the Plains. Negative. Now, after next year, if we go 7-5, 6-6, and then next year we go 6-6, then you can crank it up. But this year is going to be like a last year, a building season, a growing season.
So how many years? This year.
We were undefeated, won the championship, brought the championship to the Plains.
Uh huh.
Last year
we were young.
Rebuild. Well, last year all freshmen.
Okay.
This year all sophomores.
This year we'll be young.
Okay, but can I ask you a question?
Next year, when Reuben Foster and the rest of those linebacking recruits, the Johnson kid out of Georgia, when those kids get there, they're going to be young. And what's going to happen is we got juniors on the D-line, we got sophomores in the secondary, and we got freshmen at linebacker. Is that we're young? Is that still going to be
it's not going to be that, because when you're the best player at your position in the country in high school, you're expected to step foot and be able to contribute. Jake Holland was a four-star, but he wasn't the best middle linebacker in the country. Reuben Foster is 6'3", 6'4", 245 pounds. He needs to be able to step foot and be able to adjust to the college game quickly and make plays. Casanova is next year at this time should be the same size and be able to contribute. A lot of these kids are going to have a year of learning, and then from there it's no excuse. If you're on the field, I'm not giving excuses for kids on the field. I'm not giving excuses for Gabe Wright. He's gotten way bigger and better since last year, but I'm not giving him an excuse right now. He still needs to produce. If you're on the field, you need to produce. I don't give Jake Holland excuse. I'm not giving Kyle Frazier, even though I know he's going to be 20 times better in a year, that I'm not giving him an excuse as to why he kept overthrowing Lesson Kirkin and Emory Blake. I'm not even giving Lesson Kirkin an excuse as to why he didn't run straight up the seam when he caught that seam route. I'm not giving players excuses that are on the field. I'm just being realistic and saying that, okay, next year Kyle Frazier should be the caliber of quarterback to be able to help us win football games. Right now, he's managing the game. Next year, he should be able to help us win games. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, we've seen it. I mean, I've seen it firsthand with Jason Campbell. He's supposed to be the best quarterback in the country coming in, and it took him 3 years to show that he could, you know, be capable of winning a football game. In his fourth year, he shot.
See, I don't agree with that statement you just made, but you were there. I think Jason Campbell, if they had not been playing that favorite, that Daniel Cobb crap, and y'all went out there to USC, if they would have stuck with Jason Campbell that year, then that 2003 year when you all were supposed to be good and ranked number two or number three in the country, you all would have really been good that year. So that year, that would have gave Auburn two runs at it instead of one.
No, I mean, I somewhat agree with that. I think at the same time, there was a change of coordinators, and at the time, Jason was young. I mean, when he redshirted, his redshirt freshman year, he was still learning. And his sophomore year is when Daniel Cobb. And ability-wise, Jason was 10 times better. Knowing the offense-wise, they were the same. So, yeah, you should go with a young hand, but at the same time, I would say Daniel may have been a little bit ahead of him in a learning curve, so they just, you know, they roll with Daniel here and there. He was a senior, and they obviously should have just stuck with Jay Camp. But I'm just saying it takes time to develop these quarterbacks. Some quicker, but somebody like Jason took him time to develop. So I'm looking at Kyle Frazier in the same way. He's going to make plays this year. He's going to do things that he shouldn't this year. But I think when he's a junior, we're going to see the light starting to, you know, come on, okay, this is the quarterback that everybody was recruiting. And I can say the same for a lot of players. I mean, Trevon Reed definitely needs to step up now, him and Quan Bray. But next year, him and Sammy Coates, Quan Bray, Trevon Reed, they should all be showing the potential that they show when they were coming out of high school, because it takes time learning when you're receiving college football. I mean, everybody's not like Emory Blake, who could pick it up. You know, father was a quarterback, been knowing the position all his life, pick it up, know the small things about the wide receiver position. And once you step foot on the plains, you know what you're supposed to do, because you got that kind of background to know what you got to do when you got to do it. And these kids probably didn't have that. I mean, Trevon Reed was a quarterback in high school. All the ability in the world, he was a quarterback. Quan Bray played quarterback, running back, corner, slot, safety. So he's probably still learning. Sammy Coates played 1A football and just ran deep and caught the ball on people. He's probably still learning. You know what I mean? So a lot of these guys are probably still in the learning curve at the wide receiver position, and we expect them to just go out there and be like Darvin Adams or Emory Blake. But it takes time, and I think, you know, and I don't even make no excuses, because if they out on the field and we're throwing the ball, they need to catch the ball and have to feed in bounds or make a play or know where they're supposed to be, because that is what Trooper Taylor's there doing and getting paid the big bucks to do, is to coach them. And I'm sure he coaches the hell out of them. So it's going to come to a point where they need to do what they have to do. But at the same time, they're still young, and you learn when you play. So we're going to see. We're definitely going to see. Got a big game against Mississippi State this weekend, and it's going to be tough. We're on the road in Starkville. So they better have their minds right, or like you said, Ron Matt, they could be coming back to Auburn 0-2. Ron Matt, I was watching the Southern Mississippi game. What is the quarterback – from, I guess, the Montgomery area, is he still at Southern Mississippi?
Yeah, he's still there. He had ACL surgery in March, and he is supposed to be getting cleared sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
So yeah, he is not there, so they're platooning guys who can't throw the football. So I'm expecting that once he's cleared by the doctor to be able to play, he is about the only quarterback they have on campus that can actually complete a pass.
And I was people out at the University of Houston, and I saw that they lost to Texas State. And I haven't even, you know, personally talked to anybody that is there since I saw that pop over on the ESPN screen this past weekend.
Well, Houston lost their head coach, who was also the offensive coordinator. Yeah, where and is since the time that they lost to whoever, Texas State or whoever.
Where is their offensive coordinator
resigned?
What city is that in?
I have no clue, J-Mac, but Houston, who has been a staple, a Conference USA, you know, one of the front runners in that conference, lost to a team that's probably like in the Southland Conference, like McNeese State. I think they're on the level with like McNeese State. I think they're FCS, FBS. They're one of those lower classification programs.
Who you got tomorrow, the Giants or the Cowboys in the NFL season opener?
I got the Giants. I think that the Giants defense is nasty. The D-line is filthy, and Tony Romo will be running for his life. I'm not really a big Cowboy fan. I think, you know, my playoff teams in the NFC are the Giants, the Eagles, the Packers, the Lions, the Saints.
You got to pick somebody out of the NFC West, though.
I'm about to. San Francisco.
Are they your Super Bowl? You think they got a chance to make it the Super Bowl again?
Who? San Francisco?
Yes.
No, they didn't upgrade their quarterback position.
So Alex Smith cannot take them to the Super Bowl?
No, he cannot.
What about with that defense? I mean, you don't think it can be something like
Alex
a trend?
Alex Smith cannot lead a team to the Super Bowl.
So you don't think it could be like the Trent Dilfer where hell of
no.
a defense, great running
no,
game.
No, their defense isn't Ravens good. Ravens back,
really?
Don't back
really?
Ravens D good.
Really? It's not similar? I mean, it's not close?
Yeah.
I mean, you got Pro Bowlers all over. I mean, you got Pro Bowl D linemen. You got, you know, Patrick Willis. You got Carlos Rogers. You got Goldston at safety. I mean, you got a bunch of Pro Bowlers on that.
They won't have the record that they had last year.
Okay.
What did they go last year? Like 13-3?
13-3, I want to say, yes.
Yeah, they won't be that good this year.
Okay. It was the addition of Randy Moss.
And even though the NFC West is awful now, they got Seattle out there who's going to be starting a rookie quarterback. Who else in the NFC West?
The Rams.
The Rams, they're awful. They might not win four games. And who else?
The Cardinals.
They're awful. They probably won't win six games. I'm lying. They will. They may match that because if they win two games against those three opponents, that's six. So with that being six, they should win. Yeah, they should win six more games because they probably got a couple more scrubs on the schedule. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. So do you think with them running the table, I mean, that's going to give them, six wins there?
Yeah, that's six. So they should be able to find six wins elsewhere in their schedule. So I think they win about 12 games. I don't think they go to the Super Bowl, though, because in order to go to the Super Bowl, you're going to either have to see the Giants, you're going to have to see
Aaron Rodgers.
Discount, double check, Aaron Rodgers, or my boy Vic. I think this may be the year that Vic can get over the hump, man. I think this is it, man. I'm hoping this is the year Vic can
I think if Vic can stay healthy and their defense steps it up a little bit from last year and the big money players in the secondary, you know, begin to make plays the way they should to help out that offense. I really think Vic can make a run. I really want to see Michael Vick win the Super Bowl, man. I really, really do. I mean, from all the things he's been through to as good, you know, as good of a player that he's been and all the things that have been said about him. I love to see him win a Super Bowl. And I think he's in the right situation, man. I mean, it's on him to stay healthy, to get a good seed in the playoffs, hopefully get a couple home games in the playoffs and make it to the Super Bowl, man, because I love to see him win the Super Bowl. I mean, I really think he deserves it from him coming back from all the stuff he did and that was wrong, and for him to be back to where he is in a great situation. I really want to see him do it, man, but it's definitely going to be tough, man, coming out of the NFC East, man, because, I mean, you got RG3 there now.
They won't win four games.
Yeah, right. RG3's gonna win them five. You got RG3 there now. You got Dallas, who's
Dallas gonna beat that. Dallas will beat the Redskins. Everybody in the division gonna beat the Redskins twice. So that's 0-6. That's six losses there.
I honestly like them to go and squeak by Dallas, because you know Dallas is good for tricking the game off here and there.
Dallas don't talk about your boy Romo like that, man.
Romo goes, 29 for 30 for 4 or 5 touchdowns, and they still lose. You know, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen one of those games when they play Dallas, and they're going to win. But that division going to be tough, man. Like I said, with RG3 coming in, with the Dallas Cowboys, with the Philadelphia Eagles, with the New York Giants. I mean, those teams beat up each other year in, year out. That's why they always have the records that they have. I mean, you never see a team coming out of there 13-3 or 14-2. I mean, those teams usually have 10, 11 wins because everybody beating up on each other. So, well, it's going to be interesting to see Michael Vick being injury prone. Hopefully he just, stand up and stay up with, those pass rushes that the Dallas and New York have. I mean, those two teams alone, he has to play, 4 times a year, between the two. And we are with OC and DeMarcus Ware and JPP and all those things. He has to play that division. I mean, it's going to be tough for him to stay out, stay upright. Hopefully that O-line is doing what they need to do to keep him upright, because if he's out, Philly has no chance.
You are correct with that assumption, sir. Unless they can trade and get Kevin Cobb back, because he's a better backup than he is anything. But, Kevin Cobb got $63 million. My boy T-Jack had to restructure a $4 million contract. But, hey, that's how they do it.
What do you think about Adrian Peterson this week, man, coming back? I mean, you think they're going to throw him out there in that fire this first game?
Yeah, he's going to get out there, but he's going to look like a wounded duck, man. He ain't going to do nothing. He ain't gonna do nothing. Don't look like a wounded. I watched SportsCenter a few weeks ago. He was running around, looked like he was running around a hula hoop out there, just limping, man. He limping away, man, running like a wounded duck, man. This year, he just gonna, be a regular back. Next year, he may be back to full strength. But I don't think he'll ever be the back that he was before the injury.
Why you say that?
I mean, certain people, that skill set that he had, I don't think he's gonna ever be as confident in his body like he was. I don't think he's gonna, stick that foot in the ground as hard as he used to. And I think it's just gonna take a toll on his career from this point forward. I don't think he'll get back to being that great back, top two back in the league. I don't think he ever gets there.
Yeah, I hope so, man. But like you said, it is tough the way he ran the football and the way he sticks that foot to the ground and get upfield, and the counter that he took with the way he ran the football and fighting for the extra yards. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. When you're talking about a running back and the way he ran the ball and the vicious style of running that he did. I mean, similar, a lot of different backs try to come back.
What you think Jones Drew going to do? I think Jones Drew going to pull I'm going to come back, and he's going to really be unhealthy this year. I think he's going to fake his way through this year. What you think?
I mean, I think that he's going to try
get his money.
I think he's going to try to play, but when it comes down to it, man, and being a running back and playing, playing that running back position, it's tough to just come from the crib and just go out there and think he's going to run the ball. You know what I mean? So even if he said he's going to come back and he's going to try, I mean, he ain't been in camp. I mean, he ain't been running around getting hit. And you look at all the running backs and you go down the line and they hit your other backs that have held out, most recently Chris Johnson. I mean, Chris Johnson he looked like a very, very average back when he came back from that holdout. The game of football takes reps. And there's not too many guys who just come back and just be a beast. And it's going to take, in that same year. I mean, it's going to take a year. I mean, look at T.O. As good as T.O. was, once he got out of the game, and he was out of the game, and yeah, he's older, but, you know, not consistently being in a camp, not consistently playing for a team, you're going to lose some skill set. And I think that's what happens with these guys. And it takes a whole nother year to get back in the camp and get to moving around to where they're back comfortable being the player that they were. And with Jones Drew missing time and the beating that he takes and the amount of touches that he touches the football for Jacksonville, I mean, it's going to be tough for him this year if they plan on using him any way they did last year. You know, so I don't know. If I was a fantasy owner, I wouldn't touch him this year. I'll put it like that.
For sure.
Well, NFL keeping it real. Wednesday. More college on Saturday.
What
you think about George Tech last night?
Yeah. Keeping it real. Next week, same time. Hey.
Thanks for listening this week. Tune in to Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Until then, keep it real, real, real. Keep it real.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.